Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O merciful Lord, who desires worshipers who will honor you in spirit and in truth, we ask you to send your Spirit to cleanse us from dead works, to serve you in righteousness and holiness, and to honor your great and saving name for giving us Jesus, who is the expression of your eternal love unto salvation to everyone who believes. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 535. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of our God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry. Will you empower our season at God's right hand on high? For you alone are holy, you only are the
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us trust in your abiding grace and live according to your word. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Ezekiel. We'll read from chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. With these words, our Lord reminds us that he does not take pleasure in the death of anyone who is an unbeliever. And he actually calls us and holds us responsible for bringing the word to others to confront them with their sins and show them their Savior. We read from Ezekiel 33, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live?' Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 10. Glory to you, O Lord. These words from Romans remind us that love If we were to love God and love our neighbor perfectly, we would be able to fulfill the law of God perfectly. Therefore, Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul writes, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the middle of page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 614.
Amen.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus' words here to his disciples and therefore to us. He says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to even hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Those of you who are parents, and you may have to think back to the days when you had younger children, I want to ask you a question. If you were given the choice whether you'd rather spend a day in the park with your children or sending them to their room because they were behaving badly, which one would you choose? Pretty easy choice, right? If given the choice, would you rather give them treats or timeouts? Delightful things or discipline? This would also, of course, apply to anyone who works with children, teachers. I remember one of our teachers this week actually saying to the students, "I like to teach you. It's more fun when we get to learn and do the things we're supposed to do in class. It's not as much fun if we have to take time out to correct behavior or have a lecture about what we should and shouldn't do. It is much more enjoyable to do those fun things or to learn, to spend time with our children than to discipline them." I would guess for most parents, they would rather not even have to discipline their children if they had their way. I don't think most parents enjoy that aspect of parenting. But good parents will discipline their children when they're disobedient, even when it is unpleasant. They do this not because they are unloving, but because they are loving. And they want and know what is best for their children. The Bible even says, "He who loves his son disciplines him promptly." We sometimes refer to that type of love as tough love. It's often not pleasant for us to go through, not pleasant for our children to go through, but it is the best thing for them and for us, even though it is tough. The Bible even tells us that God our Father disciplines us. He exercises tough love at times with us, his children. The book of Hebrews reminds us the Lord disciplines those he loves. He says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons." And those verses also remind us that this discipline eventually produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it. Well, in our sermon text for this morning, Jesus also calls the members of our spiritual family, the church, to administer discipline, to administer tough love. And just like the disciplining of our children, this process is often not pleasant, but it is important. And it is, in fact, a great expression of Christian love. Since Jesus says to do it, we can be sure that it's one of the most loving things we can do, if it needs to be done. And if it's done in a very humble and loving manner. Confronting someone in their sin for the purpose of bringing them back to repentance and back to Christ is, in fact, far more loving than just ignoring them, ignoring what they're doing and saying, or maybe even approving of their sin. It's more loving and the best thing to do, even if they resent us for doing it. It requires being so loving toward that person who's fallen into sin that we're more concerned about their restoration into the body of Christ than their reaction to how they will respond to us. Now, I know that for most of us, maybe even for all of us, we would rather do a lot of things in life than confront someone. Most people do not like confrontation. I usually don't like confrontation either, and I don't know many people who actually really enjoy being confrontational. But sometimes a lack of confrontation causes as much conflict as anything else. Think of examples in life in general. If you had mold in your home, or if you have cancer in your body, if you do not confront that problem, it's going to get worse. It will not resolve itself. It will just continue to get worse and worse. So some things in life are worth the cost of confrontation. That's why Jesus calls us to confront the straying, to bring them back to Him, to bring them back to His fold. He tells us very clearly in our text, if your brother or your sister, obviously speaking about all people here, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. We know from not only the context, but from the rest of Scripture, what Jesus is saying here is not just if that person sins against you directly. He is, of course, referring to a brother or sister in Christ that we know of that is sinning, doing something that they know is wrong, and living maybe even in unrepentant sin. What's the easy thing to do in that situation? The easy thing to do is either ignore it or to go and tell someone else about it, to gossip about that person's sin, or just go and tell the pastor and hope that the pastor will deal with that person's sin or their bad behavior. But what does Jesus say is the first step we should take in confronting someone in their sin? Does he say, tell someone else about it, or even tell the pastor about it? No, he says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Why? Why is that the first step Jesus tells us to take? Because we need to keep in mind the reason and the motivation for confronting our brother or sister who's fallen into sin. The motivation, of course, is Christ's love, and the reason or the goal is to gain that soul, that person back to the flock of Christ. In fact, that is the motivation and the goal of every one of these steps that Jesus lays out for us. Whether it goes from step one to step two, or even to the point of excommunication, removing someone from the church, the goal is always to bring them back to the flock of Christ. And the motivation is always love, the love of Christ, bringing them back to that good shepherd whom they've strayed from. Now, it's no secret that one of the most difficult things about confronting a straying brother or sister is the manner in which we do it. It is more of an art form than a science, isn't it? We can often come across, or very easily come across, even if it's not intentional, we can often come across as being holier than thou, or can come across too harshly. We can even say things that would make them be defensive, even if it's not intentional on our part. It could cause them not to listen to us, not to listen to their Savior's call back to repentance. And it could be because of us, because of our words, our actions, or our attitudes in confronting them. That is why God gives us some important instructions in other places in Scripture when we do have to confront a brother or sister in their sin. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, he says, brothers, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we may not have fallen into that particular sin that we are going to talk to someone about, but when we come to confront our straying brother or sister in their sin, Paul reminds us we need to consider ourselves. Remember that we too are sinful. We too fall into temptations. And if it weren't for the grace of God, that could be us who is needing that correction and that confrontation to bring us back to Jesus. Restoring someone in a spirit of gentleness means showing them the same kind of loving compassion that you would want them to show you if you were in their situation, if you were the one who needed the confronting. Yes, you do point them to God's law. You point them to the fact that this is not what Jesus wants them to do. It's against his word and against his will. You show them their sin. But you don't need to be insulting. You don't need to be verbally abusive. You certainly don't need to be mean about it. Remember what Paul says, in a spirit of gentleness, and consider yourself. In humility, consider your own sinfulness as you confront someone in their sin. At the same time, you will also point them to their loving Savior. Remind them of how much he's done for them. Remind them of the love that he's shown for them on the cross. How much he's done to save them. How much he wants them back in his fold. And how he says these things that we are to do and not to do because he loves us. And because he knows what's truly best for us and our souls. Jesus also helps us in these confrontations with those who have strayed by giving us his authority and his power. That's very important because it's not just us coming to them saying, I think this is wrong, or I think this is what you should or should not do. We are speaking with Jesus' authority and his power. So the process of confronting a straying brother or sister is not just some formality that we follow, something that we follow rigidly just to keep our church membership looks clean and tidy. But Jesus gives us his authority in the text to act as his representatives and gives us the power and authority from him to either forgive or not forgive the sins of the people we are trying to bring back to his fold, depending on how they react to the admonition that Jesus brings them in his word. Listen again to those amazing words in verse 18 of our text. He says, assuredly, what I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We know from other sections of Scripture where he gives his disciples, his followers, us, this authority. What he means there is if we bind sins to people, they will be bound to them. If we forgive them, they will be forgiven, loosed. That is an incredible power that Jesus has given to each one of us. When we carry out Jesus' instructions in the way that he's prescribed us to do so here, we can be sure that our actions are as valid and as certain as if Jesus were doing it himself. And notice that Jesus gives this authority to even the smallest of congregations. That's comforting to us who belong to a very small congregation. He says in the last verses of our text, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We can be assured that Jesus is here in our presence today as well. What we need to keep in mind as we consider this difficult and challenging topic and part of our Christian lives, this part of church discipline, what we need to keep in mind is that church discipline is more about restoration than it is about punishment. It's about people being restored to the body of Christ. It's about keeping each other from sin and wandering away from Christ and into unbelief. It's a lot like surgery. It's something that is difficult, challenging, and even painful, but needs to be done to correct something wrong so that something more serious doesn't happen. When we're dealing with something as serious as the soul of our fellow neighbor, we should ask the Lord to give us the courage to confront them, but also give us the grace to do it with compassion and to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And if that person repents, if they come back to Christ's fold, if they turn away from their sin and turn back to Jesus, if we gain back our brother or sister, as Jesus says in our text, our response should be rejoicing. Rejoicing just like the angels in heaven do. Jesus says they rejoice at the repentance of a sinner. We should rejoice and welcome them back with open arms to Christ's family. After all, think of how many times Jesus has welcomed us back with open arms. Arms that he opened in the greatest way and expressed the greatest love when he spread them out and opened them for us on the cross. To pay for those many times that we have strayed from him in our thoughts, in our words, and our actions. If you think of the people in your life, you can probably think of individuals who are in need of this tough love. We also have to admit, if we think hard enough, we can admit fully that sometimes that has been us. Maybe it's you today. Maybe you need to hear these words from the Lord that confront our sin and point us back to our Savior. The question is, as we consider those who need this tough love, is are we going to love that person enough to firmly, yet humbly confront them with the Word of God? With the goal of leading that person to repent of their sins and restore them to the body of Christ. May God lead each one of us to encourage each other to do this. And may our Savior give all of us a heart like His. Hearts that show love to others. Hearts that show love to everyone, even when it's tough. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with our next hymn, hymn 649. Please rise. Prayers have been requested today for Chris Holt, who will be undergoing surgery on his left arm to help with some, to repair some nerves from some numbness in his hand. He'll be recovering and doing some rehab afterwards. It's just an outpatient surgery, but we pray the Lord to watch over him and give him quick recovery from that surgery this week. Any other prayer requests today? Yes, Terry.
For our daughter, Michelle, she's having some marital problems, and we pray that she's in some
Okay, we'll do that too. Michelle is her name, right? Yes. Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the great physician and the great healer of body and soul. We place our brother Chris into your tender care, trusting your power and your grace to help him and to save. We pray that you would give the necessary skills to the surgeon and bless his work. Watch over him, and if it be your will, let no harm accidentally come upon him. Through his work, Lord, help that surgeon to give Chris the necessary healing and help his arm to heal quickly. We ask, Lord, that in his anxious moments, you would give him the calm assurance of your word, which says to him and to all of us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." May this comfort also be shared by the members of his family who are praying for favorable results from this surgery. Any trials he has to face during and after the surgery, may he remember your redeeming love and the sacrifice you made on the cross for sinners and help him to take refuge there. Dear Lord, help all of us as we deal with each other in Christian love to be compassionate and to confront each other in love when we have strayed and sinned. Give us a love that seeks those who are lost to turn them back to you and to bring them back to your fold. We pray especially today, Lord, for Michelle and for her marriage. Help them to work out their problems in accordance with your will. Draw them closer to you that they may be drawn closer to each other. Help all of us, Lord, to pray for those who are married, that their lives and their marriages may reflect your love for your church. Dear Jesus, bless and keep all of those who have been affected by the storms and disasters lately. Comfort and bring peace to those who have lost loved ones or have lost property, and protect our country and those who are in the path of further disasters in the Atlantic. We ask these things, dear Lord, in your saving name, as we pray in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn is hymn 917.
This week, Tuesday, I have worship services in Stockton. We were not able to secure the time for the Atria home this month, so we'll just be having it at the Niblitz residence on Tuesday at 1. Wednesday, I have Villa Fontana service at 11 a.m. and then catechism class via Skype at 7. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month already, so we will be having our worship service with communion next Sunday at 10 a.m. Bible class will be its usual time of 9 a.m. as well. Notice that coming up is the Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference. I'll be heading to Clarkston, Washington for that from October 3rd through the 5th. Take a look at the table as you leave in the entryway next to the guest registry. I have the spokesman from this month open up to our article. We are featured in the Slice of Life article for this month, and you can see a picture of, probably be able to pick yourself out in the picture and see some of the history and also some of the reviews of what we're doing here at St. Stephen. So take a look at that. We have one extra copy, so if you do borrow that to read it, please bring it back as soon as possible. Also, there's a free devotion book available. Pastor Mark Weiss has recently written a daily devotion book. If you would like a copy, please speak with me. Free copies are available, and we can get a copy to you in the near future if you'd like one. Any other announcements I am forbidding today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.